Podcast 84, Repent or Perish. The gospel passage for this podcast is Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. In the old liturgy I use at Forest Lake Gardens Retirement Village, we read and listen to the words, hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ says. In this sermon, there are some uncomfortable words that Jesus has to say. Today's gospel reading shows Jesus' response to two local disasters, both of which are man-made disasters rather than natural events such as floods or earthquakes. Before we get on to the specifics of these two incidents, a background piece of information that's useful in considering this passage is the Jewish view of sin and punishment in Jesus' time. This can be seen in the incident recorded in John's Gospel in John 9:1-3, where Jesus heals the man born blind. The first verses of chapter 9 record this exchange between Jesus and his disciples. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him." So we can see from this conversation that for Jews of the time, the idea of sin having physical consequences for people, and consequences which could be passed between generations, was an accepted idea. With that background in mind, let's now examine the two events recorded in this part of Luke's Gospel. These two events are not recorded in any other sources, either in Scripture or outside Scripture. The only source we have for these two events is this section of Luke's Gospel. The first disaster is about Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. It seems to involve the killing of a group of Galileans visiting the temple in Jerusalem for a festival. The horror of this killing for the local population in Galilee would be firstly that it involved their own kinfolk. This would focus everyone's attention on the fact that Jerusalem is not a safe place for Galileans to be. At this time, Galileans had something of a reputation for being at the forefront of any rebellion or trouble, the area of Galilee being a focus for unrest. Hang on a minute. Jesus and his disciples are a group of Galileans, and they are in the process of travelling to Jerusalem. Another disturbing element to this item of news is that the Roman governor Pontius Pilate himself either ordered or at least condoned this killing. This is entirely consistent with Pilate's often brutal response to any disturbance in Jerusalem or within the temple itself. And as previously mentioned, this massacre happened within the temple precincts. In our modern day times, it would be like the Prime Minister ordering a group of SAS troops to storm into the Anglican Cathedral in Wellington next to Parliament and shoot the parishioners in the midst of a peaceful church service. And you can imagine what sort of outrage that would cause. So let's return to the Gospel passage. The second disaster Jesus comments on involves a building failure. Jesus spontaneously offers this as a parallel example of tragedy to the one about the Galileans Pilate had murdered. The Tower of Siloam, again in Jerusalem, had collapsed and 18 people were killed. This tower was at the southern edge of Jerusalem, near the city wall, near the Pool of Siloam, which can still be visited today. The collapse would have been just maybe the result of poor building or that the tower's integrity was affected by a new aqueduct Pilate was building to bring water into the city. By the way, this aqueduct in itself was a source of grievance to the Jews because Pilate had appropriated money given to the temple treasury to help finance the construction of the aqueduct. Jesus' response to these two disasters is not empathetic, kind, or compassionate. He does not address the issue of suffering, tragedy, sudden death, those things that happen and seem to be unfairly dealt out to people by an unjust governing authority or by a civil disaster. He does not attempt a why-them explanation, and he does not condemn Pilate for his brutal acts. What Jesus says, in essence, to both these events is, were these people worse than anyone else? No. But unless you, his audience, repent, you will also perish. So what are the disciples thinking about this reply? I think their thoughts go something like this. Hang on a minute, Jesus. We were talking about the outrage of this brutal tyrant Roman procurator, this foreign invader who had people from our own area, Galilee, murdered in cold blood while they were praying and offering sacrifices at the holiest place in all of Israel and of all the world. And instead of being outraged and calling down God's vengeance on this bloodthirsty, wicked Gentile, you are telling us to repent. Us. We are Galileans. We are Jews. We are not the problem here. And by the way, do you think it's actually not that great an idea for us Galileans to be going to Jerusalem at this point in time, given these recent events? But Jesus doesn't take this probably popular view of what these tragic events mean. Instead, he's focused on sin and the tragedy of people perishing. And I don't think Jesus meant perishing, physically dying, because everybody dies. But I think he meant spiritually perishing, that this is a terrible thing and that we must repent in order to avoid this. He reinforces his point by the parable that follows, the parable of the fig tree that is unproductive. The problem is what to do with a tree that uses up scarce nutrients but yields no fruit. Jesus' words are a clear rebuke to his surrounding hearers, the nation of Israel. If the nation is at risk of judgment, then so are its individuals. The owner desires to chop the tree down because it's had the necessary time to bear fruit and has failed to do so. The vineyard keeper pleads for one more year, just a little more time, perhaps with a little bit of extra care. Loosening the soil around the tree, fresh nutrients will do the trick. If after a year the tree still hasn't produced fruit, then the conclusion is obvious. Judgment draws near unless there is a change. Unless repentance comes to the nation, the national tree will be judged. Unless individuals repent, individuals will be judged. But God's willingness to hold off shows his patience. Jesus tells both the individuals listening to him and the nation of Israel as a whole that the clock is ticking. God is watching over his vineyard. If his plant does not bear fruit, he can find other ways to get fruit. The commentary on this is Romans 11, where Paul speaks of grafting in new branches. In this passage, it is clear that God did not cut away the vine, but instead he did radical surgery on it. Romans 11 also makes it clear that God is not yet done with that surgery. One day, the Israelite branches will be grafted back into the vine. So returning to the gospel passage, what can we learn from this dialogue as Jesus and his disciples wend their way towards Jesus' date with destiny in Jerusalem? Firstly, I think suffering caused by man-made events is not connected in any way to the sinfulness or otherwise of the victims. There is no, they were bad, so they deserved it, theology in Christianity. Secondly, everyone is a sinner and is called upon to repent. Thirdly, God in his mercy may allow time for repentance, but there is a limit to his patience.